the chariot. And take it away, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Sunny. Much love to you. Hey, everybody. I'm Sherry. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to see all of you. And let me get out of this spotlight. Okay. Okay. Hi. So today I'm going to talk about step three. And I'm just going to share my experience with step three. What I want to say about it on the technical side is I've heard people say step three is only a decision. For me, if I make a decision to eat, but I don't eat, I'm going to die. So for me, when it says I made a decision to, like, I feel like I have to make the decision to do something, to eat or to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. For me, the short form of step three is self-will versus God's will. I came here in absolute, somebody said it, I don't know if it was on this meeting or another meeting, but I loved it. She said, I came in a sarcastic know-it-all. And that's how I came in. I was completely resistant to everything. I didn't want to do anything anybody said. And I went through a lot of sponsors. God bless all the sponsors that I've had, honestly, because I was so self-willed and so resistant to everything they offered me. So for me, it's giving God my will and my life. I'm going to tell you about the story of my dogs. This is me turning my will and my life over to the care of God. I was frontline healthcare for a while, and excuse me. There was a girl in my chair. I was drawing her blood, and she was pregnant with twins. And I was like, oh, that's how I was still in my 40s then. So this was relevant. I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to have twins, one and done, boy and a girl. Well, guys, within the week, I had twins, a boy and a girl, on my doorstep. They were puppies. You hear me? They were out running around by themselves, and I found the one, and she had been hit by a car, so she had a broken leg and couldn't travel, and the brother wouldn't leave her. And I was so angry at God, because I knew it was referencing to me speaking, oh, that I wanted this, 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 and this. Well, I got this, this, and this. But here's the thing. When I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, am I open to the form in which God delivers what I ask for? I have to be open to the form. I got pissed at God. I had to do some inventory on God. I was so angry because, like, I was like, this is not what I was talking about. And so I once I got over it, what I realized is that I have to be open to the form. I have to be open to the way God gives me the things that God thinks I can deal with. And I will tell you this, it's the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. We had dogs as a kid, and if you're a pet owner, you're going to get me. And if you're not, then maybe not. But we had kids, or we had dogs when I was growing up, but, you know, my dad always raised them. And so this was the first time I had ever had puppies. So since I didn't know anything about them, I was getting up every hour on the hour to let them outside because I didn't know any better. I share that with you because today I have an appointment for my girl to be put down, and I had a cat and I had her brother, and they died not even a year ago. And, you know, here's the thing about you guys and what you've given me and taught me, that I don't have a drinking problem today. Oh, my sobriety date is 2202. It was probably before then, but I'll be honest, when I first started coming to the rooms, I came in late, left early, and only heard the differences. So I did never want to notate a sobriety date. And so when I was in a meeting in that room and I started hearing similarities, I decided that that would be my date just because it was easy to remember. And my home group is Living by the Print here in Nashville. We study only the literature and we practice the application of the steps and living a life with the application of the steps. I tell you about my dogs because my boy, I had to put my boy down, her brother, some months ago, and then my cat had to be put down 3 weeks after him, and today my girl is going. So three pets within less than a year. It's been very sad. Here's what you guys have taught me, that it's okay to grieve, it's okay to be sad. And if I'm 21 years away from a drink today, I don't have a drinking problem, but I do have a thinking problem. Okay, so prior to step three, my life is unmanageable because I'm managing. I don't have to do that anymore today. I don't have to manage anymore today. There were moments, I'm not perfect by any means, but there were moments because I was trying to decide when do you make the call? When do you know? How do you, I didn't do that this time. I just kept saying, God, she's yours, not mine. And I know that I will intuitively know when is the right time. And so the last couple nights were not good nights. And I finally made the call yesterday, but they couldn't do it until today. And this morning, my sponsor actually called me and she asked me how I was doing. And I told her and I said, she's suffering. I think I waited too long. And she said, honey, we all do that. Can you imagine that she immediately related to me and helped me feel the comfort and the ease that alcohol used to bring me? That I can just call someone in an instant and I'm off the ledge. And and it's okay. I didn't have to try to manage this. And every time I thought about it, and last night I was a little bit anxious because she was having a hard time sleeping. And here's what I did, guys. I laid in bed for almost 2 hours before I finally fell asleep. But here's what I did. In step one, I'm not powerless over people, places, and things. I'm powerless over my alcoholism. So I laid there last night and I said, God, I'm powerless over my alcoholism. I don't want my life, which is my mind, to be unmanageable. I believe that you can restore me to sanity, God. So I'm asking you to restore me to sanity. God, I give you my life, my will, and my quote unquote kid. And I give you all things. And I just kept saying those things over and over and over again because I would start to think or I would start to cry. And you know what else you guys taught me? One day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time, sometimes one moment at a time. And that's what I was doing last night, was just getting through those moments, because as soon as I started to visualize or manage how it was going to go today, I stopped. And I remembered, I'm not the manager. God is the manager. And all things will work out if I have that faith. And I do. I feel like step three is where the rubber meets the road. Because, you know, I either trust God or I don't. That's the final analysis. You know, our book says God is either everything or God is nothing. I had some work drama a couple months ago. You guys have heard me at this meeting. I've been coming to this meeting for a while. Oh, and by the way, thank you everybody so much for this beautiful meeting. I love the steps. The steps are my life and the principles of the steps. And Kim, thank you for inviting me to talk today. So a couple months ago, and you guys may have heard this, I had some work drama going on, and it was a lot of work drama. And I was really afraid. And so I had done something and I thought it was something that I shouldn't have said and something that I shouldn't have done. And I call my sponsor and I'm freaking out. You know how I do. You know how we do. Because I'm in my head, because I'm back to management. And because I'm back to taking it all back. You know, step three, page 60 to 63 is all about self-will run riot. And that is me. That is me. So until I get back to God's will, So I call my sponsor. I'm like, and oh my God, I said this and I did this and I don't think I was supposed to this and the other and that. And my sponsor said, and I said, I'm afraid I'm going to get fired. And my sponsor said, well, honey, if they fire you, that's none of your business. And I was like, like what? Like I have to pay my bills and I have to be self-supporting and I don't have anyone else to do these things for me. And I'm like, how could she say this to me? It's so my business because she's not going to pay the bills. And so she said, and so when I, like, here I am in my ism, da 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 da. And she said, well, honey, is it your business or is it God's business? And I was like, oh yeah. You know, the relief that comes from somebody saying one thing to help us remember the truth. Ah, ease and freedom. That's what I have today because of you guys, because of this program, ease and freedom. So when she said that's God's business, ah, ease and freedom. And when it was happening, all the drama, I was like, I told her, I said, I'm looking for another job. And she said, well, I don't think that's a bad idea because you cannot live with this ungodly fear. And then again, you know, the sigh, the relief, because you know what? Fear is not of God. Fear is ungodly. And you guys taught me F-E-A-R, forgetting everything's all right. I forget. My alcoholism forgets that everything is all right. And I call you guys to remind me of that. It's all right. And that if they fire me, that is indeed God's business. Because let me tell you something, 100% of the crap I've gone through, I've survived 100% of the time. So I'm just so grateful for this program. Sometimes I get weepy even with the gratitude for this program because it has changed my life. And I am honestly shocked of some of the things that God has removed from me because I didn't think, you know, I'm from New York and Italian. So I'm very loud, very, you know, very stubborn, very resistant. Seriously, God bless all those sponsors. I lost count, you guys. That's sad. That is so sad. But you know, today I have principles to live by and I'm so grateful. And so here's another experience with turning my life and my will over to the care of God. In 2021, 2021, I moved back to New York, which is where I'm from. I moved up there. I wanted to be closer to my family. COVID was, COVID was just a mess and makes you realize, you know, people are dying all over the place. So I wanted to move back to be closer to my family. I get there. The job stuff is not working out. I was trying to transfer with my company. That didn't work out. The job stuff was not working out too good. I call my sponsor and I'm coming in hot. Hold on. Wait a minute. She said, my sponsor at the time was Teresa Fair, who will be here at this meeting to share very soon. And she said, hold on a minute, hold the phone. She said, you didn't go there to have this job or that money. You went there to be with your family. Are you with your family? I'm like, yes, I am. I am. I'm here with my family and that's good. And then I lived in my cousin had an apartment. And so I was renting his apartment. And then he died from COVID. He was 49 years old. He had no underlying issues and he died of COVID. And my cousin, his wife, was pregnant. So now, because I go right back to myself, now I have to move. I'm freaking out again, you know, because you know how my ism does. My internal spiritual malady goes 100 miles an hour within 1 second. 1 second it takes. for this to go 100 miles an hour. So then I call my sponsor. I'm going 100 miles an hour, still Teresa, still going 100 miles an hour. Coming in hot, she goes, hold on a minute, hold on a minute. Your cousin died. You have to be able to grieve that and take a breath. You have to help his wife, because all the rest of my family was out of town at the time. Everybody was out of town at the time. So it was just me and my cousin who was pregnant. Okay, okay, okay. She goes, and now you have to remember, you didn't move up there to be in a certain apartment or live in a certain apartment or live in a certain place. You moved up there to be with your family. Are you there with your family? Yes, I'm here for my family. Then go be of service to your cousin who's pregnant and by herself. Okay, okay. So I talked to her in the car while I'm driving there. Mind you, it was like after midnight. And so I knew she would be up because she was in California. So I talked to her. She talked to me the whole way. I got to my cousin's, which was about 20 minutes away. And then I went in and I did what you guys told me to do. I was able to be of service, because that's God's will for me today. That's what God has for my life today, is service. Last night I wanted to cry because I've made the decision about my dog. But I did what you guys taught me to do, and I threw myself into service that literally just yesterday Kim handed me for this group. And I started making calls, and I started lining up speakers, and I started, you know, here, there, and every making lists. And then I went to the 11th step meeting, the Fellowship of the Spirit, last night. And then after that, I continued to work on getting speakers for this meeting, because that's what you guys taught me to do. You taught me to jump into action. I got to pray like it all depends on God, but I got to work like it all depends on me. Ralph White says, I'm better when I'm with you. And I am better when I'm with you. And the reason for that is because you have what I want. And I am indeed 21 years later willing to go to any length to have it, to get it, to keep it. My aunt also died while I was in New York. I was not able to find housing. It was a really bad time because we were about an hour out of the city, and everybody from the city had moved in when COVID was really bad, and they were putting people in meat trucks and all the things. So I ended up having to come back to Nashville. That was just another thing that, you know, turning my will and my life over to God and having the ease and freedom to be able to make the decision and to do those things with ease and freedom, knowing that God knows what's best for me. And if that's the way that it turned out, that's what God wanted for me. There were moments at this job that I thought, I don't know, God, I don't think really this is the job for me. There's already been all this drama that, you know, I don't love that anymore, because I know ease and freedom. You guys have given me ease and freedom. God has graced me with ease and freedom. I don't like drama anymore. And then one day I went to say that again to God, just that conscious contact of just having a chat with God. And I went to say, you know, I don't know about this job, God. And what I thought was, and then what I said was, well, God, if I'm at this job, it must be your will. If I'm still at this job today, it must be your will. If I'm living back in Nashville today, it must be your will. If my dog is ready to go, it must be your will that this is her time, because you've shown me when, because you've shown me intuitively, because you give me signs all the time. I remember one time I was, I journal every day. I meditate every day. I do a gratitude list every day. And I remember one time something, I don't even remember what I was going through. You guys know how that is. My alcoholism gets the best of me, and you know, the end of the world is coming. And so I was writing in my journal. Last thing I wrote in my journal that day, I said, I feel so defeated. Well, at the time, the apartments I was living in had this nice paved trail, walking trail for us, huge backyard, like acres and acres. And they had a nice paved trail. So I went outside and I was walking on this nice paved trail. And there was a guy out there jogging. Well, he was kind of getting closer and closer. And then he was kind of stalling, like beside me. He was kind of like, you know, just slowly jogging, kind of slowing it down. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't feel like having a conversation. I don't feel like talking to this dude. Is he stalking? What's happening here? Okay. Alcoholism, 0 to 100. Okay. In 1 second. So he jogs ahead of me a little bit and then he stopped. And I would like you to remember that the last thing I wrote in my journal is, God, I feel so defeated. He turned around when he stopped. And he said, I saw somebody in a vision this morning who had a beanie on. It was winter, so I had a beanie on. He said, I thought it was my friend, but I think it's you. He said, God wants you to know he has a plan for your life and none of it includes defeat. And I just started crying. I was crying so hard from the grace, from the relief, from the ease, from the freedom, that I couldn't even speak to him. And he was way across. And I said, when I finally could get it together, and I said, thank you for being obedient and giving me the message. And that was that. And I've never seen the guy before and I had never seen him again. You know, I have 1,000 stories like that. I don't even have the time today, but I want to tell you another one. When I got back to Nashville from New York, I'm on the road. I'm in Virginia. I start calling Nashville for hotels because I'm going to just come back, get a hotel. Easy rentals here. You know, the price was jacked up because of all the things. So I'm in Virginia and I'm starting to call these hotels. No availability, no availability, no availability, no availability. At the time, I got 2 dogs and a cat in the car with me and all my stuff. I cannot find a hotel in Nashville to drive into. So I had several more hours to go and I just said it. I just put the phone down. I said, God, you know what? You're going to have to figure this out because I have no idea what else to do. I just kept driving down the road, stopping at a rest area, just chilling with the dogs, grabbing something to eat, taking a little walk. We get back in the car. We're still in Virginia because, you know, Virginia goes on forever. We're still in the car. All of a sudden, the name Karen comes to me. It's my friend, Karen. And I was like, man, right before I left Nashville, Karen and her husband, Mark, bought a home. They were living in the apartments that I was living in. They lived downstairs from me. They bought a home. And before I left, she said, please come and see our new house before you move to New York. So I came over to see the house. They got this wonderful apartment downstairs, this house completely separate entrance, not connected to the upper. I have my own everything, kitchen, da, 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 da. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I hadn't spoke to her in the year that I was living in New York, but she came to me. Because if I'm turning my will and my life over to the care of God, he's going to tell me what's what. And when I say, you're going to have to figure this out, God figures this out. And so I text her, hey, you remember that apartment that I looked at? Is that available to rent? She texts me back and she says, actually, we were just getting it ready to get it available to rent. Well, do you have someone yet? We don't. We're just getting it ready. Well, I'll be in Nashville about 7 p.m. Will it be ready by then? Can I rent it? And she said, sure, come on. So there it is. God figured everything out. I'm going to tell you guys this because this is another God thing. $1,000 a month, guys. It's got everything. Everything included. Water, garbage, electric, cable, Wi-Fi. $1,000 a month. You hear me? That's God. That's God. A 1-bedroom apartment here at that time was going for about $1,600 a month. Yeah. So that's the grace of God. So then that next day I left everything on the car, of course, except the dogs and, you know, I brought the animals in. And so we're just kind of just getting ourselves straight and I'm trying to feed them. The next morning, I'm trying to get this topper. It took 3 of us to load the car topper on because, you know, I had whatever I had. It took 3 of us in New York to load it on the car. And I was trying to unload it from the car the next day by myself. And I was kind of hoping the neighbors would see me and come out because, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I can't ask for help. I can't go knock on the door and say, hey, can you help me? But what I did, because what I learned from you guys was this, I did pray. And it wasn't even like a prayer. It was like a chat, a conscious contact prayer. And I said, I sure could use some help, God, with this. And I did not even turn around. I saw from my peripheral a car. Actually, it was a little truck that had stopped right there beside my car. And this guy says, rolls down his window and he says, would you like some help? And I said, well, I sure would, because I just prayed for you to come. He said, all right, well, then let's do it. So he's 70-ish, you know, in my mind. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm still going to have to do the brunt of this. So we get it down and we're going to, like, drag it to the apartment, which is, you know, just around the way. And I'm like, I can't let him do this, you know, poor thing. Thank you so much, Sonny. I'm like, I can't let him do this poor thing. So I'm like trying to get the brunt of it. And he says, you know what? Let me take care of this. He says, I may be 70 years old, but I work out every day. Let me take care of this. And he brought that whole thing into my apartment all by himself. And then he left. And I have never seen him since. Like, there's days I look for him in his truck, but I have never seen him since. There is 1,000 stories I could tell you about all this, guys. We do not have time. So the other thing I want to say about step 3 is I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God every single day. And I leave it at that. Because I don't know what's good for me. I know a lot of us know the set aside prayer. God, please let me set aside everything I think I know about the big book, the 12 steps, you, God, myself, for an open mind and a new experience with you and the 12 steps and the big book and myself. God, please. I've shortened it. God, please let me set aside everything I think I know. Period. Well, I've had to shorten it again. God, please let me set aside everything I think. Period. In my short version of step 11 on pages 86, 87, and 88, I like sing-songy stuff. I say, God, please direct my thinking today. Lead me, guide me, show me your way. And that's it. I don't have to figure anything out for the day. I get to do whatever is right here, whether I'm at work, whether I'm out in public, whether I'm sitting here with you. That's all I have to do. I'm going to read something real quick from the big book. It's actually found in one of the stories. I have a third edition because one of my old sponsors who passed away has writing in here, so I still have this third edition. But the story is to handle sobriety. I could not close this in a better way. I could not say this in a better way. I have learned to deal with disappointments and problems that once would have sent me straight to the bottle. I have come to realize that the name of the game is not so much to stop drinking as to stay sober. Alcoholics can stop drinking in many places and many ways, but Alcoholics Anonymous offers us a way to stay sober. And for me, that's what this is about. This is about sobriety, emotional sobriety, and learning and practicing the principles in all my affairs. And 1,000%, guys, I do not sit here before you perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. But then I call one of you guys, and then I go, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. There's nothing in our big book that says we're bad. There's nothing in our big book that says we're wrong. It just says we have alcoholism. And then it gives us a plan to treat it. And that is the program of recovery for me, is these steps. Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it very much. I love you, and I thank you for my sobriety today.
Thank you so much. Oh, that was just wonderful. Huh. AA has no dues or fees for AA membership, but we do have expenses. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. We are observing the seventh tradition digitally on Venmo. You should see our information in the chat. Our Venmo address is at beacon-group. Please take a moment to make a contribution if you can. If you do not have a Venmo account but would like to send a contribution through the mail, please message us in the chat and we will supply our address. All our contributions support AA's general service. Thank you in advance for your generosity. If you are looking for a home group, we would love to have you. Our business meetings for this noon meeting are held virtually on the third Monday of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, following our regular meeting. The Beacon Group's overall business meetings are both in person and online on the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. I think that's changed, but somebody's got to tell me that. Anyway, to sign up for membership and to be on the email list, please visit our website, which is posted in the chat. Our website has a lot of great information, as well as the recordings of our meetings. We will now have AA announcements. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
Yes. Hi, my name is Kim. I'm an alcoholic. Looking for new members always. We would love to have anybody who wants to join us. In the spirit of rotation, we do have quite a few service commitments. The only requirement is 90 days. So if you would like to join us, you can contact me, Andy, or anybody with an asterisk in front of their name. We can get you in. Also, we have started a Beacon Group meeting community on WhatsApp. There you'll find our flyers and any information pertaining to the meeting. It's not a chat group, it's just an announcement group. And I'm posting that in the chat. If you'd like to join, just follow that link. And that's it. Thanks.